So we are reading today from the 10th canto, 11th chapter, verse number 46 to 49. The chapter is Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. And we will be reading the verse number 49. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Balram and other boys saw that Krishna had been devoured by the gigantic duck, they became almost unconscious, like senses without life. Purport. Although Balram can do everything, because of intense affection for his brother, he was momentarily bewildered. A similar thing is stated to have happened in connection with Rukmini Haran. The kidnapping of Rukmini. When Krishna, after kidnapping Rukmini, was attacked by all the kings, Rukmini was momentarily bewildered until the Lord took the proper steps. We'll also read the, since other verses don't have purports, we'll read the translation. One day all the boys, including Krishna and Balram, each boy taking his own group of calves, brought the calves to a reservoir of water, desiring to allow them to drink. After the animals drank water, the boys drank water there also. Right by the reservoir, the boys saw a gigantic bird body resembling a mountain peak, broken and struck down by a thunderbolt. They were afraid even to see such a huge living being. The great body demon was named Bakasur. He had assumed the body of a duck with a very sharp beak. Having come there, he immediately swallowed Krishna. And when Balram and other boys saw that Krishna had been devoured by the gigantic duck, they became almost unconscious, like senses without life. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Manchakalpataruvyascha Kripasindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shirada Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna I seek your blessings and prayers to allow me to speak today on this beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna's childhood pastimes are going on, and in this particular verses we are talking about a particular demon who attacked Krishna and his friends. And this demon is Bakasur. Many times we have heard that Krishna is called as Baka Ari. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he says Nanda Nandan, who killed Aghasur, Bakasur and Putana. These three demons' names are always taken together. Why? Because they come from same family. Bakasur and Aghasur are brothers and Putana is their sister. So we see here that the coward boys are enjoying with Krishna on the banks of Jamuna. And they are actually doing their daily routine seva of taking care of the cows, and they have come on the bank of Jamuna to drink water. And when they are drinking the water, suddenly they see this gigantic personality. And they are absorbed in looking at him. That who is this person suddenly who has appeared here? So we can understand, so fortunate are these coward boys, friends of Krishna, who are continuously getting association of Shri Krishna. Brahmaji prays that these Brijvasis are so fortunate that they are constantly in intimate association of the Lord. All of us, we want to desire to see Lord or to please Lord or to serve Lord, but they have attained this highest perfection of their life and they are constantly associating with the Lord. So when Brahmaji in the Brahman Vibhavan Leela, after that he prays that, my dear Lord, please give me this one benediction. And what is the benediction he's asking? That please make me a blade of grass so that on my head I can constantly get the dust of the lotus feet of Brijvasis. We have heard these prayers from Uddhav, but actually even Brahmaji prays the same thing. And Srila Prabhupada writes that Brahmaji says, even if not in Vrindavan, if I am not so fortunate, give me a place in the outskirts of Vrindavan. So when these Brijvasis come out of Vrindavan, at least by then they will put the lotus feet over my head and I will get the dust of the lotus feet. The next prayer Brahmaji says that, Krishna, you are so kind to these Brijvasis that you have actually given yourself to them. And what could be better gift than you yourself? And Krishna, Brahmaji says that actually when Putana tried to kill you, she just wanted to offer some service to you. So you are so kind that not only Putana, but you delivered all the family members of Putana. If you can do this to Putana who had come to kill you, can you imagine what actually you are giving to these Brijvasis who have given their everything to you? Their life, their soul, their relatives, you know, their wealth, everything is only Krishna. So what benefits the Brijvasis get, we cannot understand. And he's saying the only benefit they get is constant association of yours. And so we can see in all this pastime that the Brijvasis are so fortunate that they are having constant association of Lord, playing with Lord, serving with Lord. In this particular shlokas, there is mention of this demon, Bakasur. And this pastime takes place in Khadiravan. Khadiravan is also called as Khaira. Khaira in Hindi, you know, when the coward boys saw that Krishna, this bird, Bakasur, swallowed Krishna, they said in Hindi, Khailio Khailio, you know, he has eaten. So Khailio Khailio. So present day Khadiravan is this place, is called Khaira. Khaira, which is very close to Barsana. And this is the place actually where Lokanath Goswami made his bhajan kutir. So Narottam Das Thakur has very high regards for this place. So in this area is called Baka Thara, where Baka was destroyed. Now let us understand from the scriptures, who was this Bakasur? Garga Samhita mentions that there was a great demon of the name Utkala. He was so powerful that he defeated all the demigods, all the human beings. He was very demoniac. And he ruled the kingdom for 100 years. His father was Hayagriva. Both the father and son were very aggressive. And they ruled the kingdom for 100 years. Once, this Utkala came to the ashram of Jajali Muni on the bank of Ganga, where Ganga meets the ocean, at the place of Ganga Sagar, which is at present in Calcutta. And you know, Ganga Sagar is a very beautiful place. Jajali Muni's ashram was there. And Utkala took a fish hook And in front of Jajali Muni, he put that hook in the Gangaji and he was trying to catch all the fishes. And he was eating them right in front of Jajali Muni. Jajali Muni knew his demoniac nature, so he was little patient, trying to tell him that, no, please don't do this sinful activity in my ashram. But he was not listening. So even though he protested for a long time, he didn't listen. Then finally Jajali Muni took some Ganga water and cursed him. That since you are loving to eat these fishes, I curse you that you become a crane. And you become a demon and you become a crane. And immediately Utkala realized that he has lost all his power, opulence, strength. And he begged that please give me some mercy. You know, I have made this mistake, but please give me mercy. And when he begged too much, at that time, Jajali Muni tells him that in Vaivasvata Manvantara, in the 28th cycle of the Dwapar Yuga, in Bharatvarsha, in the Mathura area, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, will deliver you and you will enter into the effulgence of his body. And immediately he became this demon, Bakasur, crane, and started roaming all over the world. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and when there is a description of devotional service, it is explained when Krishna kills different living entity, they attain two destinations. One, those who realize when Krishna is killing them, that yes, I have been killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they attain Vaikuntha. But those who don't realize that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they just see him as a powerful being who has destroyed them, then they enter into the effulgence of the Lord. So here we see that Utkala, who became a crane as Bakasur, and later on he enters the effulgence of the Lord. So when Bakasur came there, and when he saw that he wanted to kill Krishna, so everybody was absorbed in looking at Bakasur because it was so gigantic, huge. It is explained that his beaks were touching the sky, the other beak was on the ground, and tall feet. And when the coward boys and Balram are looking at him, like an opportunist, he swallowed Krishna before they even realized. And Balramji, out of intense affection for Lord Krishna, momentarily, when Krishna disappeared from his sight, he became completely morose. And here we see that they became almost unconscious, like senses without life. Garga Samhita explains further that when this happened to Balramji and coward boys, all the demigods appeared in the sky. And they all wanted to protect Krishna. They all wanted to show Balramji and coward boy that we are there with you. We want to protect Krishna. And Indra, with his thunderbolt, he started attacking Bakasur. Brahmaji with his danda was attacking Bakasur. Vayudev came and he was blowing wind. Shiva, he cut off one of the wings of Bakasur. Durga came and she was attacking Bakasur. Surya came with sharp arrows. He was trying to attack Bakasur. Chandra came with his ice weapon. He was trying to attack Bakasur. Varuna came with his ropes. He was trying to bind Bakasur. But Bakasur was not defeated. He was so powerful. And how can he be defeated? Because how can he be killed? Because Krishna was sitting right inside his mouth. Where Krishna is present, how that living entity be killed? So here we can see that we may try to understand that Balramji is also expansion of Krishna. He is such a powerful incarnation. He is Ananta Shesh. How can he become unconscious and bewildered? And I was trying to analyze that the love of the devotees for Krishna is so intense that sometimes they forget that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he can do anything. And momentarily they come into this mood of attachment, affection, and they experience the emotions which actually all of us experience when we see when we are dealing in this day-to-day lives. From scriptures, we can see that Krishna has not only performed this leela here, but at many other places. As it is explained, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that when Rukmini was kidnapped, and we understand who was Rukmini. Rukmini was expansion of Srimati Radharani. And she was the first queen of Lord Dwarkadish. Right from childhood, she was hearing a lot of past tense about Krishna. And just by hearing, she became intensely attached to Krishna. So when her father and brother wanted her to get married to Krishna, wanted her to marry Shishupal, she was very bewildered. She said, no, I want to marry only Krishna. So secretly she writes a letter to Dwarkadish, and a Brahmana is gone with the letter. And then she is waiting. She is waiting because all the processes are happening for her marriage. So one of the ritual was to go to a Durga Devi temple and worship her. And she had written to Krishna that when I am going there, I will wait for you and you can come and kidnap me. So she went inside, she performed her rituals, and when she goes there, actually Shishupal, Jarasandha and all the other associates of Shishupal, they are waiting outside the Durga temple. And when Rukmini comes out, it is explained in the scripture that she actually, as Krishna shows sometimes his Brahman effulgence, Rukmini showed her beautiful form. And Shishupal and all her friends, looking at this pure beauty, they actually fell down. Because they had never seen so beautiful. And Shishupal was so happy. You know, that, see, I have got this person, and I'm going to marry her. And at that time, Krishna just comes and kidnaps Rukmini. And when Shishupal and others realize that Rukmini is kidnapped, they all start following with their armies. And Krishna and Rukmini are going in the chariot. And Rukmini, when she sees that so many kings with all their armies are following, she's a little scared. So at that time, Krishna shows her, Balramji has just arrived with the Yadav army. He said, Rukmini, here is your army. So in this way, just by one sentence, Krishna wins the love and trust of Rukmini. What does he say? He doesn't say, Rukmini, this is my army. Rukmini, this is your army. Now I have kidnapped you, are marrying to me. So whatever belongs to me is yours. And all these soldiers, army, they attack Krishna. And it's explained in Bhagavatam, there's a cloud of arrows, in the rain of arrows in the sky. When Rukmini sees that, there's so many arrows are coming, and Krishna is and she are getting covered, she becomes momentarily bewildered. And then Krishna says, don't worry. Your soldiers are capable of taking care of all of them. And then, actually Balramji and all the Yadav armies, they actually defeat Shishupal and all his associates. And after some time, Jarasandha explained to Shishupal, you can't do anything. You know, she doesn't belong to you. She has gone. And he explains to him and they go back. So here it is explained in this pastime that how Balramji was bewildered, similarly Rukmini was also bewildered. Similar situation happens when Krishna enters Yamuna to attack Kaliya. When Kaliya had actually poisoned the entire Yamuna and nobody could drink the water, and Krishna decides that I want to kill Kaliya or just, you know, let him go out from here. But when Krishna enters Yamuna, at that day, actually Balramji was not there with them. And Krishna and Kaliya, they're having severe fight, and actually Kaliya, in his, he actually coils around Krishna. And Yamuna, Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj and others, when they come and they are seeing that how Krishna is coiled, you know, Kaliya has coiled Krishna and Krishna is lying motionless. Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj and all the coward boys, they became unconscious. Except Balramji at that time. He was smiling. So we can see here that in this pastime also, Krishna, out of his intense affection sometimes, he creates situations where his devotees become too much in anxiety and, you know, they are afraid and sometimes they are unconscious. Similar leela has also happened in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Anta Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that time, he was intensely absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And once he tells Sarvadamar Goswami, you know, they were in Aitota garden, that can you please recite the Rasa Leela? And Sarvadamara Goswami is actually describing the intimate pastimes of Rasa Leela. And then he is mentioning that how actually Krishna and gopis, because they were so exhausted after Rasa Leela, they entered Jamuna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this, you know, he was walking around Aitota garden and he came near the seashore. And all the devotees were there near the seashore. And suddenly, hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thinking that this ocean is none other than Jamuna, enters the ocean. Before even devotees realizing this, that where is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gone? Because he did it so fast. So all the devotees, they're searching, you know, where is Lord Chaitanya gone? Where is Lord Chaitanya gone? And then some of them went to Jagannath Mandir, some of them went to Gundicha Mandir, some of them went to Chatak Parvat, Narendra Sarovar, Aitota Garden. Everywhere they are looking for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they cannot see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when they come back to Sarvadamara Goswami, they all feel actually that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left them. He has disappeared from this planet. And they experience the same intense emotions. They all were almost unconscious. And at that time, Sarvadamara Goswami says, no, let me find out. And he starts walking on the bank of the shore. And suddenly he sees a fisherman. A fisherman who was looking very bewildered. He was talking some different language. So he asked, Sarvadamara Goswami asked this fisherman that, have you seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said, no, I have not seen him. Saying, but what happened to you? He said, no, last night when I went for fishing, I saw a very big fish and I thought my net has caught a very big fish. But actually it was a ghost. And I started chanting Narasimha Arati. But when I was chanting Narasimha Arati, by mistake I touched this ghost and I became, this ghost attacked me more. And this ghost is, you know, he's entered my heart and he's doing so many things. So Sarvadamara Goswami said, I'm an exorcist. And actually relieve you from this ghost. And he puts his head over fisherman's head, his hand over his head, and then he just recites a few shlokas and he slaps him 3 times. He said, in fact, you have attained the ecstatic love for Krishna. By touching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, you have got this intense love for Krishna. And saying, show me that body. And when he sees the body, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body had become so long, stretched, and the place between all the joints had increased. His skin was just so loose. And Sarvadamara Goswami was so happy that finally they found Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he asked all the devotees come together and do kirtan. When they all start doing kirtan, at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets up. So we can see that all these different examples, even when Krishna in Dwarka Leela, he was accused of stealing Shyamantaka jewel. Sometimes we feel that, you know, there is misunderstanding and accusation. But even Krishna was not left when he was in his Leela in Dwarka. And he was accused that he had stolen Shyamantaka jewel. So Krishna decided that, no, I will find out where is the Shyamantaka jewel and I will take the responsibility to make sure that I am not blamed for this. So when he goes to find Shyamantaka jewel, he enters the cave where Jamvan and Jamvati are there. And Krishna enters alone because he sees the lion's footsteps, you know, reaching all the way till Shyamantaka jewel. And he tells all the Dwarkavasis that you wait outside. And Krishna has gone in and he's fighting with Jamvan. And for so many hours, for days he's fighting. And Dwarkavasis, they're waiting. And when they saw for 28 days Krishna did not come out, Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. They came out and he was really, they were so much in anxiety that how can this happen? You know, and they thought actually they have lost Krishna. So we can see from this all examples that how sometimes Krishna wants to put his devotees in anxiety out of intense love. And the same verse is used by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Krishna, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is explaining the different features of ecstatic love of Krishna. And in that, he's explaining about confusion, death, laziness, inertness. And in the portion of death, the same verse is given what we have read today. And Rupa Goswami Pad writes that sometimes a devotee, when he's whether in an accident or he sees some ghastly scene and he becomes unconscious. But when he becomes unconscious, it is not that he forgets Krishna. Even in such a situation, a devotee can always remember Krishna. And Prabhupada explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, explaining this verse of Rupa Goswami, that even if a devotee who is almost unconscious in comatose situation, nearly on his deathbed, externally he is motionless, but Krishna, if he has practiced Krishna consciousness, in his innermost consciousness, Krishna appears, and instead of him going down to the material existence, he uplifts him or her to the spiritual existence. So sometimes we wonder, a devotee is met with an accident or undergoing some surgery and he doesn't return, he's in coma. But we must have faith. That Srila Rupa Goswami quotes this verse and says that this is because you have practiced Krishna consciousness, it's Krishna who takes the responsibility that I will come and I will remind you. And I know one case which we had in our Bhaktivedanta hospital. I'm always interested in knowing the near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences. So it is we have made a protocol that all those patients, you know, who undergo for a long heart surgery, for a long time they are on anesthesia, or sometimes they are in coma or on ventilator for a long time, we have some questionnaires for them. You know, that if they come out of that, or, you know, after resuscitation, of cardiac resuscitation, if they survive, that did they experience something? So, there's one devotee, her name was Leela Mataji, her two sons, one is a brahmachari and one is a grihastha. So she has, you know, three children, all three devotees. And she had some severe heart problem and she was admitted in ICU in coma. So his children at that time, you know, there was a yatra in Vrindavan, so they were all attending yatra and she was admitted here in ICU. So suddenly they had to leave from Vrindavan to come to Mumbai and attend to the mother. So when they were leaving, they were just asking me, because we know them, we were health instrumental in getting them to Krishna consciousness. So I said, just chant Narasimha prayers next to your mother. And you know, Vraj Kishore Prabhu, her son, was a grihastha, who came back and, you know, he was sitting in ICU and constantly chanting Narasimha Aarti for her mother. After a few days, when she regained her consciousness, they thought they have lost her. But actually she became conscious. And, you know, I was asking her, part of when I went to meet her, I said, do you recollect anything? You know, during so many days you were unconscious. So she told me a very amazing story. She said, actually, when I was deeply unconscious, I saw one day four people who came with ropes and they were tying me. They were tying my feet and they were, you know, I was there. I could see that they are very, very few, you know, furious, very scary looking people. And suddenly I saw they were at my feet and at my head side there's a goddess who is telling me that don't look at them, look at me. And I said, I started looking at her, and when I started seeing her very closely, I realized, because I was seeing long hair and jewelry and some silk cloth, so I thought she is a goddess, but actually when I started seeing very closely, it was not a goddess. She was Narasimha Dev. Because of her long hair of Narasimha Dev, she was mistaken. And then she said, very amazing. She said, when I was looking at Narasimha Dev, I could hear that somebody is chanting Narasimha prayers. So in the medical language, we say that she was actually coming back to consciousness because she could hear. Hearing is the first sense which comes back. Even in unconscious state, hearing is very powerful. She said, I was seeing, you know, I was hearing. And then slowly, slowly I realized, and her consciousness was becoming more good, because she realized it was nobody else but my son is chanting Narasimha Aarti. And when he was chanting, she was actually seeing Narasimha Dev. So what Rupa Goswami Pad is saying here, that even if you are in accident or you are in deep unconscious situation, Krishna comes into your inner consciousness and brings you back. And another my realization after this story is that whenever we are chanting Narsimha Aarti, Narsimha Devi is present. Holy name is not different than Lord. So just this one example taught us so many things. So again we can see what Rupa Goswami Pad is saying, that Balramji was unconscious, but it was not that he was not conscious of Krishna. Scriptures also say, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that Bakasur represents the anartha duplicity. Duplicity or cheating propensity or hypocrisy. Where you speak something else and you mean something else. There was a devotee who wanted initiation. So he went to his guru and he said, my mentor has agreed to give me initiation. Guru Maharaj, will you give me initiation? So Guru Maharaj said, okay, your mentor is agreed. So what is the problem? And then this devotee went to the mentor, that my Guru Maharaj has agreed to give me initiation. Will you give me permission? So he was manipulating. And after some time, both the guru and mentor realized that what he was doing. And they both withdrew the mercy. Srila Prabhupada says that to have love and trust among the community members in a devotee community, it is very, very important that we are honest, simple, and non-duplicious. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, duplicity means no simplicity. And he says that duplicity actually takes away our chance of serving Krishna. And we can see this in case of Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra. Duryodhan was a very duplicitous person. And this pastime when he had invited Durvasa Muni and his 60,000 disciples, and Duryodhan was very happily serving them. And when he finished serving them, what did he tell Durvasa Muni? That I am very happy to serve you, but I also want that you give your blessings to my Pandava brothers. But you go at this time when Draupadi finishes eating her prasad. Because he knew once Draupadi finishes eating her prasad, Pandavas cannot feed Durvasa Muni and the 60,000 disciples. And if Durvasa Muni is not fed, he will curse Pandavas. So he was very duplicitous. He was externally trying to show that he wants to do some good act to Pandavas, but actually he had other intention. So many times, devotees, you know, like the example, somebody if is very duplicitous and you know that he is duplicitous, if he comes and tells you, Prabhuji, you gave very nice class, immediately you are thinking in your mind, what does he want from me? Or what does she want from me? But when there is simplicity, there is love and trust, there is honesty, there are straightforward dealings. So it is, this Bakasur demon represents duplicity, hypocrisy. You don't walk your talk. You are saying something, but you are doing something else. Dhritarashtra sent Pandavas to Lakshagraha, saying that now you have become the Yuvraj, the prince, you should go and enjoy. I mean, actually the Lakshagraha was actually made to destroy them. So we can see here that duplicity actually, because of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan's, this duplicitous standards, when Krishna came as a peacemaker, they had one chance to serve Krishna. So that they could please Krishna by giving him prasad. But Krishna did not accept their service because he did not want to accept the service from duplicitous people. And at the same time, you see, Vidura was a very straightforward, honest, simple person, and Krishna accepted his service. Another example, great example of honest and high integrity person is Krishna's father, Vasudev. Even Kamsa was such a demon, he would not trust anybody. But he put his trust in Vasudev. And Vasudev said, I will bring each of my child to you. It's okay, I will release Devaki. So even though he was such a demonic person, but he understood that Vasudev is a man of high integrity. And because of that, Vasudev got the chance of serving Krishna, not only as a father, but doing so many services of Krishna. So we must understand the duplicity or this or anartha of Bakasur actually stops our attitude or tendency to serve Krishna. At the same time, integrity, simplicity, honesty attracts Krishna, and he will give us lots of services. So if you want to do services, if you want to have love and trust amongst our community members, we must practice this virtue of simplicity, honesty. And we can do this by our strong sadhana. When we have strong sadhana, actually our chanting is very attentive, then we can overcome this enemy of duplicity. I would just end with one small realization. Just 2 months back, I was cooking rice in my house for my deities and my family. When I was cooking rice, I was boiling rice. And somehow or other a phone call came and the rice got burnt. And all the rice was burnt. And you know, nobody could eat that rice because it was burnt. So I was thinking, I was sitting and meditating that actually to cook this rice, you know, what are the efforts which have gone? That somebody has planted the rice seeds, grown them into small plants, plucked them out, planted them somewhere else, you know, big plants have come up and somebody has harvested rice, somebody has packed, it has gone into bigger malls from there, small packets, and I have, with hard earned money of my husband, I have purchased that, I brought it to my house, and I was just simply washing and cooking it. So much effort has gone for that rice to come into my house. Before I started boiling it, so much effort has gone. But if, because I was not attentive while cooking that rice was spoiled, it was burnt, and it did not enter in anybody's stomach. It could not nourish anybody. Similarly, if we analyze our life, how many different things we have sacrificed or we are working hard to practice Krishna consciousness. We have given up our family members, friends, so many habits which we like to do, we are not doing now. You know, maybe some of you have left your homes and staying here. So many sacrifices we make. It is like, you know, till the time the rice comes to your house, so many things we do to actually practice Krishna consciousness. But every day morning, when we sit for chanting our rounds, that is a time of boiling the rice. If you are inattentive during that period, if you are not attentive while chanting, what you are doing? You are burning the rice. You are actually all the whatever you have sacrifices, hard work you have done to practice Krishna consciousness, because that is the time, chanting is the time, your association with the Lord. That is the period, because in Kali Yuga, the only way you can take progress is by chanting the holy name, by Sankirtan Yajna. So that is the actual period of your advancement, and if you don't chant attentively, you are wasting all your other efforts. So I wanted to share this realization because it is really helping me to pay more attention to my chanting, because this is the process by which we can make 99% of spiritual advancement, as Srila Prabhupada says. So if we chant attentively, then probably we'll be able to overcome this anartha of duplicity, and we'll always engage in the service of the Lord and His pure devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.